Yeah. Sri Sri Radharadana ki, Sri Sri Nitai Gora Hari ki, Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi ki, Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Sankirtan Yajna ki, Gopremanande. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare. With us at Mama Lodi this morning, you would have done quite well. Yes. The loud chanting of the holy names. Haridas Thakur said that this is the most benevolent activity there is. You chant the holy names loudly, then so many living entities get to hear. He said that, he told Lord Chaitanya that if you go into a forest and you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then you chant and then you'll hear an echo coming. So Haridas Thakur said, actually that is not an echo, but that is the trees responding. Yes. So you try that next time and see. The trees will be responding. Such a wonderful, such a merciful thing actually, to give the holy names and to give Krishna consciousness. We're out there at Mama Lodi today and we chanted a little, and the children and some adults also, they joined in the chanting, some of them quite nicely. Some of them were dancing. And they were quite into it. Then they took prasadam very enthusiastically. So they may not understand so much, but actually this is so beneficial for them. So extremely beneficial. And it is a great gesture of mercy to go out, to extend ourselves, to go out and try to do this try to do something, anything practically, to give people Krishna consciousness. It may be a little austere there at that. It's sort of like a glorified squatter camp, I think, really, on the edge of Mama Lodi. It's not... Materially, it's not so auspicious. But somehow, the devotees are kind enough. Bhaktin Yvonne and Mother Varshavanabhi and the other devotees from the Pretoria Temple, they're kind enough to go out and try to give these people Krishna consciousness. So we should all try. We should all try to do something to help. Maybe a little austere, a little uncomfortable, and the conditions are not so pleasant as in your nice house somewhere in Pretoria, or your nice flat somewhere in Pretoria or Johannesburg. Maybe a little less comfortable. But if you give mercy, then you will get mercy. This is how it works. Lord Krishna says, as they surrender to me, I reciprocate accordingly. So if we give mercy, we'll receive mercy. On the other hand, if we give offenses, we will receive offenses and unpleasantness. So we should think, what would I like to get? And probably we'd like to get some mercy. So if we're thinking, if we think that, yes, actually, I would like to get some mercy, then the idea is we should think, so how can I help to give a little mercy? So you can all go out on Saturdays on Food for Life, or go out chanting with the devotees, something like this. Try and help spread Krishna consciousness. That's very nice. So today we are going to read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Translation and commentary, of course, by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Today we are going to read from the Antya Leela, Chapter 6. Lord Chaitanya meets Raghunath Das Goswami. This is a very nice chapter. All sorts of different incidents and different things happening. Finally, Raghunath Das Goswami, he attains the association of Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri after many struggles, many difficulties. Finally, after great endeavor, he got that association of Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri, and Lord Chaitanya gave him lots of mercy, and he responded to that mercy in different ways, in essence by just dedicating himself more and more and more in devotional service at the lotus feet of the Lord. And he became such an amazing devotee, one of the greatest of all the great devotees. So we'll read a series of verses here from this chapter, describing some of the interactions, a little bit of the interactions between Lord Chaitanya and Raghunath Das Goswami, and some of the descriptions of the determination, dedication, resolute determination of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. And hopefully we can also become a little inspired to become a little resolute. Actually, you're all great devotees, but we can all improve a little. So we can think, maybe, how can we improve a bit in devotional service at the lotus feet of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again bestowed his mercy upon Raghunath Das by giving him a piece of stone from Govardhan Hill and a garland of small conch shells. Previously, when Shankarananda Saraswati had returned from Vrindavan, he had brought the piece of stone from Govardhan Hill and also the garland of conch shells. He presented Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu these two items, the garland of conch shells and the stone from Govardhan Hill. Upon receiving these two uncommon items, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extremely happy. While chanting, he would put the garland around his neck. The Lord would put the stone to his heart, or sometimes to his eyes. Sometimes he would smell it with his nose, and sometimes place it on his head. The stone from Govardhan Hill was always moist with tears from his eyes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, "This stone is directly the body of Lord Krishna." For 3 years, he kept the stone and garland. Then, greatly satisfied by the behavior of Raghunath Das, the Lord delivered both of them to him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Raghunath Das, "This stone is the transcendental form of Lord Krishna. Worship the stone with great eagerness." That stone is still here. It's still manifest. Those of you who have been to Vrindavan, then you may well have seen that stone from Govardhan Hill. That Govardhan Shila is in the Radha Gokulananda temple in central Vrindavan. And it's a square, quite a square stone. And you can see on the top, it is about maybe the size, just small, very small, two or three inches by 2 or 3 inches, something like that. On the top, you can see there is an indentation. It is a very uniform indentation, not like somehow the stone got broken or something like that. But it's very smooth and uniform shape. Because Lord Chaitanya, he would massage that Govardhan Shila with his thumb. While chanting, he would massage the Govardhan Shila. And generally the devotees will use Ganges water or Yamuna water for bathing their Govardhan Shila or Shalagram Shila if they have. But as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says here, Lord Chaitanya, he was bathing that Govardhan Shila with the tears from his eyes, transcendental tears of ecstasy. So that Govardhan Shila, that stone from Govardhan Hill, was always moist with the Lord's tears. And sometimes he would hold it to his heart, his eyes, to his head. He would even smell it sometimes. And all the while stroking it, stroking and stroking with his thumb, leaving this indentation. Have some of you seen that stone? Very nice. So then Lord Chaitanya, he was so pleased Raghunath Das was so dedicated to his service that Lord Chaitanya became so pleased, he gave him that Govardhan Shila and that garland of small conch shells, which had also, it had been worn by Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "Worship this stone in the mode of goodness, like a perfect Brahman. For by such worship, you will surely attain ecstatic love of Krishna without delay. For such worship, one needs a jug of water and a few flowers from a tulsi tree. This is worship in complete goodness, when performed in complete purity. With faith and love, you should offer 8 soft tulsi flowers, each with 2 tulsi leaves, one on each side of the flower." You can picture that within your mind. Do you know what the tulsi manjaris look like? Kind of extended form with many little flowers. Beautiful little flowers if you look closely at them. And on either side at the base, one leaf like that. After thus advising him how to worship, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally offered Raghunath Das the Govardhan Shila with his transcendental hand. As advised by the Lord, Raghunath Das worshipped the Shila in great transcendental jubilation. Swarup Damodar gave Raghunath Das 2 cloths, each about 6 inches long, a wooden platform, and a jug in which to keep water. Thus, Raghunath Das began worshipping the stone from Govardhan, and as he worshipped, he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, directly in the stone. Thinking of how he had received the Govardhan Shila directly from the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Das was always overflooded with ecstatic love. The amount of transcendental bliss that Raghunath Das enjoyed simply by offering water and tulsi is impossible to achieve, even if one worships the deity with 16 kinds of Govardhan stone, 8 kaudis worth of the first class sweetmeats known as kaja and sandesh. You all know kaja? Yes. It was very dear to Lord Jagannath. Kaja. If you offer them with faith and love, they will be just like nectar. Raghunath Das then began offering the costly sweetmeats known as kaja, which Govinda, following the order of Swarup Damodar, would supply. When Raghunath Das received from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the stone and the garland of conch shells, he could understand the Lord's intention. Thus he thought as follows: by offering me the Govardhan Shila, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has offered me a place near Govardhan Hill. And by offering me the garland of conch shells, he has offered me shelter at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. Raghunath Das's transcendental bliss was boundless. Forgetting everything external, he served the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his body and mind. Who could list the unlimited transcendental attributes of Raghunath Das? His strict regulative principles were exactly like lines on a stone. Raghunath Das spent more than 22 hours out of every 24 chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. He ate and slept for less than an hour and a half. And on some days, that also was impossible. Topics concerning his renunciation are wonderful. Throughout his life, he never allowed his tongue sense gratification. He never touched anything to wear except one small torn cloth and a patchwork wrapper. Thus, he very rigidly executed the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whatever he ate was only to keep his body and soul together. And when he ate, he would reproach himself thus. So Raghunath Das would say, if one's heart has been cleansed by perfect knowledge, and one has understood Krishna, the Supreme Brahman, he then gains everything. Why should such a person act like a debauchee by trying very carefully to maintain his material body? Lord Jagannath's prasad is sold by shopkeepers, and that which is not sold decomposes after 2 or 3 days. All the decomposed food is thrown before the cows from Tailanga at the Singhadwara gate. Because of its rotten odor, even the cows sometimes cannot eat it. At night, Raghunath Das would collect that decomposed rice, bring it home, and wash it with ample water. Then he ate the hard inner portion of the rice with salt. One day, Swarup Damada saw the activities of Raghunath Das. Thus he smiled and asked for a small portion of that food and ate it. Swarup Damada said, you eat such nectar every day, but you never offer it to us. Where is your character? When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard news of this from the mouth of Govinda, he went there the next day and spoke as follows. What nice things are you eating? Why don't you give anything to me? Saying this, he forcibly took a morsel and began to eat. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking another morsel of food, Swarup Damodar caught him by the hand and said, it is not fit for you. Thus, he forcibly took the food away. It doesn't say what he did with it, but he may have eaten it himself. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, of course, every day I eat varieties of prasad. But I have never tasted such nice prasad as that which Raghunath is eating. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed many pastimes at Jagannath Puri, seeing the severe penances performed by Raghunath Das in the renounced order. The Lord was greatly satisfied. In his own poem, known as the Gauranga Stava Kalpa Vriksha, Raghunath Das has described his personal deliverance. He said, although I am a fallen soul, the lowest of men, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered me from the blazing forest fire of great material opulence by his mercy. He handed me over in great pleasure to Swarup Damodar, his personal associate. The Lord also gave me the garland of small conch shells that he wore on his chest, and a stone from Govardhan Hill, although they were very dear to him. That same Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, awakens within my heart and makes me mad after him. Thus, I have described the meeting of Raghunath Das with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyone who hears about this incident attains the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Om Gyanatamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshramanatamiena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Svapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapitatikam Vanchakalpa Charuvyascha Kripa Sindhuvyevacha Paditanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is very beautiful description about Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, a very beautiful devotee, very wonderful devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was so determined and so dedicated that nothing could stop him. Nothing could stop him. He made up his mind that he was just going to serve Krishna, and that was all. That was all. So, in order to do that, he accepted great austerity. And we should also try to follow in his footsteps. But of course that does not mean that we should imitate. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. We should follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans, the great personalities. But to imitate, that is not very good. We are not on the level of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. So if we try to adopt a program of chanting, well, he would chant, he would glorify the Lord for 22 hours or 22 and a half hours a day. The basic form of that was he would chant minimum 64 rounds a day. Then he would give class to the devotees, just as we are doing here. So he would give class about Lord Chaitanya, his experiences in those years that he was there with the Lord at Jagannath Puri. He would give class every day for 3 to 6 hours. Every day. Every day he would offer obeisances to 2,000 Vaishnavas. Every day he would offer obeisances 1,000 times to deities, just again and again. And his determination to dedicate himself and just completely give himself at the lotus feet of the Lord altogether, that was just so strong, unbreakable, that Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj, he says here that these determinations, these regulative principles which he accepted, they were just like lines cut in stone. If you somehow manage to carve a line in a stone, then of course that is not like if you make some line in some soft substance and it is very malleable, and after a while you may just rub it out altogether and then there is no line, or you break the line. But some line carved in stone, that is permanent. That is, there's no question of what to speak of breaking it, even of bending it, even a little bit, changing it just a little bit. There's no question of that. So Raghunath Das Goswami, his determination was like that. He was a very amazing devotee. And it says here, we read how he would chant 22 hours a day, in chanting in different ways, chanting the Maha Mantra, speaking about Lord Chaitanya, different ways. He would chant. It is said that sometimes he would chant 64 rounds out loud, as we do normally, audible chanting. Then some days, on top of that, he would chant another 64 rounds within, or like very softly, very like whispering, very, very softly. Then he would sometimes chant another 64 rounds within his mind. And then he would give class for 3 to 6 hours and do his other activities. And 1.5 hours or so, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that he would bathe and eat and sleep perhaps. But some days that was not possible. He would forget about these things. And after 3 or 4 days or some number of days, one of his associates would come and remind him that, my dear Raghunath Das Goswami, you haven't eaten or drunk or slept or anything for 3 or 4 days, so you please just take a little break. And Raghunath Das, being very obliging person, he would agree. Otherwise he would just carry on. And as a result, his body, he became very thin indeed. And sometimes when it was a windy day, he would be blown over. And in those days, he was living at Radhakund. In those days, Radhakund was not the big pilgrimage mecca, sort of, that it is now. You know, popular, very popular place of pilgrimage, all built up and with so many friendly pandas to show you around and help you become free of some of your material attachments to any money that you may have. No, in those days it was very quiet there at Radhakund. Very quiet. So, sometimes he'd be blown over and there would be no one around. But some hours later, some devotee would come and pick him up. And there are descriptions in Bhakti Ratnakara how sometimes he had this vow to offer his obeisances so many times to deities and devotees. So he would go visiting the different little temples around Radhakund. Just a few little temples were there, little shrines. And he would offer his dandavats so many times again and again. After a while, he couldn't get up. So he would just lie there. Then, as we said, it was very quiet, so no one would know. But later that afternoon, maybe some other devotees would come. And they would see, oh, here's Raghunath Das, prostrate on the ground. He can't get up. So then they would go and pick him up. And he would say, oh, thank you. Thank you so much. You're very kind to help me like this. And they would say to Raghunath Das that actually, you're very old now. He lived there for 49 years. They would say, you're very old now. And you're such a great devotee. It's not that you really, in order to prove anything, to show that you're humble, that you need to bow down like this. And we can see it's very uncomfortable for you. So you just stop now. You can just stand and offer your pranams like this to the deity. And then be fine. And Raghunath Das would say, yes, yes, thank you. It's very nice of you. It's very helpful of you to think like this about me. And the devotees would go. And the next day the devotees would come back. Same place, and there would be Raghunath Das Goswami prostrate on the ground, and they would pick him up. Anyway, that was Raghunath Das Goswami. So dedicated. There, Radha Kund, that is at the northern end, northeastern end, northern end of Govardhan Hill, and down the western side of Govardhan Hill, a little bit out, maybe a kilometer out from the hill, there's a place called Sakhi Stali. That is the place of Chandravali. If you know some of the pastimes, you would know that Lord Krishna, he has his transcendental pastimes with two main groups of gopis, cowherd damsels. It's very interesting. You know, Srila Prabhupada, we were reading last night actually from the first chapter of the Anchalila. There's a description there of Rupa Goswami and how he wrote various verses in two plays. So there's one verse about Krishna meeting the gopis, and Srila Prabhupada translates gopis as the cowherd damsels. A damsel, of course, that is a very honorable term. Yes, we hear about damsels in distress being rescued by noble knights in shining armor. So it's a very honorable term. Yes, we may say gopis, but actually, they're very honorable, very great, great personalities, not to be taken lightly at all. So there are two groups of cowherd damsels, two groups of gopis. The main group, of course, is headed by Srimati Radharani. Then there is another group, just really to heighten the excitement. That is headed by Chandravali. Actually, she is the sister of Radharani. She is sort of indirectly, but she is like a sister. She is counted as a sister of Srimati Radharani. And she is really a very great devotee also. But anyway, there are many stories how those two parties, they are vying with each other how to get the attention of Krishna. Yes, and sometimes Krishna is going from one group to the other group, then to the first group, then back to the second group, back to the first group. Sometimes he gets a little confused which group he is with. And he is with, actually, Srimati Radharani. And he says, oh, my beloved Chandravali. Oh, I meant, Chandra, of course, means the moon. He says, oh, I mean, your face is just like, you're one whose face is like the moon. And then Radharani thinks that, oh, the moon has spots on it. He's saying, I have a spotty face. Oh, man. Great commotion occurs. Great commotion occurs. So there are these two groups, and the headquarters for that group headed by Chandravali, that is at Sakhi Stali, down on the western side, about halfway down, near where current day Govardhan town is, on the western side. There are, even still to this day, there are a couple of big, big trees with big leaves. big leaves. Some special type of tree, I'm not sure what it is, but some big tree with big leaves. And the people make leaf cups out of those leaves. So, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, he had one associate who was like an assistant. And Raghunath Das, part of his vow, which is not specifically mentioned here, but it's known, well known to be part of his vow, was he would only have buttermilk. That was his diet. He would have buttermilk only. Nothing else. How much buttermilk? Not a liter or half a liter. As much as could fit in one leaf cup. So the leaf cups which were available in the Radhakund area, the trees and the leaves from the trees with which these leaf cups were made were rather small. So he would have one small leaf cup of buttermilk made with these small leaves. They couldn't make them any bigger. So that was his vow. So his assistant heard one day that down there, it's maybe 5 kilometers away or so, there are these big trees with these big leaves down by Sakistali. And the people there, they make big leaf cups. So he thought, aha. He wanted to serve Raghunath Das very nicely. And he felt he was eating so little, just a little buttermilk. So he thought, let me get one of those big leaf cups and I will give Raghunath Das Goswami a nice big cup of buttermilk and that will be better. So he went, he got some of those leaf cups and he filled one up with quite a good amount of buttermilk. He was feeling very satisfied. And he gave it to Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das, he lifted it up, then he looked at it, and he saw, oh, this is different from usual. And before he had taken any, he asked the assistant, where did you get this leaf cup from? And the assistant said, oh, I got it from Sakistali, the place of Chandravali. Raghunath Das, he threw that leaf cup on the ground. The buttermilk went everywhere. And he said, I will not touch this. I will not touch this. Because it is coming from Chandravali, who is the competitor of Srimati Radharani. He wouldn't touch it at all. Very strong feeling. Yes. You know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that the worshippers of Vishnu are called Vaishnavas. The worshippers of Krishna are called Karishnas. But the followers of Lord Chaitanya are called Gaudiyas. And we, Gaudiyas, we worship Krishna, we worship Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya, he worshipped Krishna, so following Lord Chaitanya, we worship Krishna. But then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta raised the question, he said, why do we actually worship Krishna? He said, because he worships Radharani, therefore we worship Krishna. Because he worships Radha. So anyway, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, he is such a great devotee, so completely dedicated to upholding the principles and simply doing nothing else at all other than rendering service to the Lord completely wholeheartedly with absolutely no reservation whatsoever, and for himself, just taking practically nothing. And as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, that even when he would eat that rejected food, which was so bad, even the cows wouldn't eat it, he would admonish himself, "You rascal, you're just interested in sense gratification. That's all." Yes. So he was so dedicated. And we can't be so dedicated. I mean, we can't actually. Certainly at this point we can't. We shouldn't attempt to uphold such staunch principles of renunciation. But Srila Prabhupada has given us a program following in the footsteps of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Srila Prabhupada has given us a program. It is not as severe at all, but it is a program of austerity. And we all, really, as aspiring devotees, we should try to uphold those principles. Srila Prabhupada very mercifully has given us the same program as Raghunath Das Goswami, but just molded to be appropriate to ourselves at this point in our development and spiritual life. So that program is that we should get up early in the morning, preferably before 4 o'clock. Around 4 o'clock we should get up, we should take a bath, put on clean clothes, have arati, then we should chant our rounds, and we should all try, really, as much as possible, try to chant 16 rounds a day, at least chant as much as possible. But Srila Prabhupada wanted that we chant 16 rounds a day. You know, there's a reason. Some people ask, why 16? Why not 15? Why not 17? Why 16? What is the thing about 16? So, but there is a point. The point is that in order to remain above the influence of the modes of material nature for the day, at least for the day, 24 hours or whatever the day that we're up, then we need a certain amount of transcendental energy, shakti, to be able to keep us up there. Just like a rocket, it needs shakti, some force to get it up. A car needs some force to get it moving and keep it moving over a certain distance. So we need a certain amount of transcendental shakti to get us up and keep us up for the day. So Srila Prabhupada calculated that the minimum dosage to really keep yourself up for the day is 16 rounds.